We learned that Shmuel says the damager of Shur in the Mishnah refers to Karen, and Mavir refers to Shane. Why did the Tana leave out Regel from the Mishnah's list? When the Mishnah says that when it damages, the damager is Chayiv, that phrase is an extra phrase, and it comes to include Regel in the Mishnah. Why not list Regel explicitly? Rava therefore said, you're right, Shur refers to Regel, Mavir refers to Shane. When the Mishnah says that each cannot be learned from the other, it's because Regel is different in that its damage is common. Shane is different in that the animal derives benefit from the damage. And why did the Tana list Karen directly? When the Mishnah says, when it damages, the damager is chayiv, that actually comes to include Karen. But again, why not list it explicitly? Mara says the Mishnah only lists the damagers that are amuid from the very beginning, not damagers like Karen that are first at the time and then amuid. Why doesn't Shmuel hold like Rav that Mava refers to a person who does damage? He would say that the later Mishnah lists the person who does damage. So it can't be that this Mishnah is what meant by Mava to include it because it's included already in the next Mishnah. Why not mention a person who does damages in the first Mishnah? The Mara says the first Mishnah is only discussing damage committed by a person's property, not damage done by the person himself. How does Rav answer this? He says the later Mishnah mentions a person only in the context of stating that he's an immediate muid. However, the principal place of mentioning a person who does damage is our Mishnah. According to Rav, when the Mishnah says that Shur and Mavar are different, it should be understood as follows. Shur is more stringent in that the owner is Chayiv Kaifer if the Shur kills someone, whereas a person is not Chayiv Kaifer when he kills someone else. On the other hand, a person is more stringent in that when he damages, he's Chayiv Rabo Dvarim, and beyond the actual damage, meaning he has to pay for tsar, ripoy, nezek, tsar, ripoy, shevas, and boisha. So it's really the extra four over here. Whereas when your property damages you, do not. In fact, the Mishnah says that the common characteristic of the avos in the Mishnah is that it's normal for them to do damage. According to Rava, when that shah refers to Karen, that's not true because it's not normal for Karen is not a normal type of damage. Mar says the Mishnah is speaking about a muid. It's considered to be normal even for Karen to do damage once it's a muid. In fact, can it be that it's normal for a person to do damage? Where it says the Mishnah is discussing a person who is sleeping. Since he stretches in his sleep, it is normal for him to do damage. In fact, the Mishnah says that the damager must be guarded by you. Now that makes sense when you're referring to your money, but when you're referring to the person himself, it must be guarded by you. You could say he has to be guarded by himself, maybe, but not by you. The Mara said, we have the same issue in a Braisa, actually. And over there, Bavo said, we have to understand that it actually means that the person has to watch himself. And although the phraseology is not perfect, but because it really refers to the other three cases of the money that damages, we have to explain the Mishnah in the same way. Rav Mari asked, maybe Mara refers to water that damages. We find the word tive is used in reference to water in a pasuk. Mara says in that pasuk, the word tive is actually going on fire, not on water. So Rav Zid said, maybe Mara refers to fire. Mara says, it can't be because hever is listed separately in the Mishnah. That refers to fire. So Rav Shaya told a Braisa that there are 13 avos nezikim. There's the unpaid watchman, the borrower, the paid watchman, the renter, actual damages, pain, healing, unemployment, embarrassment, and the four from our Mishnah brings a total of 13. Why doesn't our Mishnah list these others as well? Why does our Mishnah only list them four? So according to Shmuel, we can say it's because our Mishnah only deals with damage done by a person's property and not by a person himself. However, according to Rav, why does our Mishnah not mention these as well? I said when the Mishnah says maver, which is the person himself, it meant to include all forms of a person who is a damager, and therefore it includes all these other items. In fact, why does Rav Shaya feel the need to list all these items separately? He says we don't list two kinds of a person who damaged together, meaning there's a person who damages property and a person who damages another person. If so, why doesn't he list the two types of shur as well? An animal that damages an animal and an animal that damages a person. Mara says because there's a difference between a person who damages property, he only pays the damage, and a person who damages another person, he has to pay for the abba devarim. However, when an animal damages, the owner always pays the same thing, whether it damages a property or a person. That's why there's no need to list it separately. In fact, the cases of the watchman, the borrower, and the renter are also cases of a person damaging property and yet they're listed separately. Rav Shaya taught cases of direct damage and separately taught cases of indirect damage. Rav Chiya taught a braisa that there are 24 avos nezikim. And he adds the following: someone who pays kefil, someone who pays arba v'chamisha, a ganef, a gazlam, edim zoymim, a rapist, a seducer, a defamer, a person who makes another person's food tameh, someone who mixes truma into regular produce, someone who makes another's wine into yayin ezek, and the 13 of Rabbi Shaya is a total of 24. Rabbi Shaya didn't list all of these because he only listed things where the person must pay for actual damage payments and not where he has to pay penalty payments, and a lot of these listed are penalty payments. In fact, the ganef and the gazlam don't pay a penalty, so why didn't he list them? Mara says they're included in the case of unpaid watchmen and the borrower, meaning even though their Karen is not a penalty, not a knas, but still they're already included in the cases of the watchman. If so, why did Rav Chiya mention these separately? Because he listed a case where the property came into the person's hands in an in a permissible way, and separately toward it where the money came to his hands in a prohibited way. So why doesn't he list it? Says Edim Zoymim don't pay if they're moides, which means that they are knas. You hold like the other, another view of Rabbi Akiva, that when an animal damages a person, he always pays the full damage, even if the animal is a tam, and therefore you should list two types of shur. Mar says Rabbi Akiva holds that the full damage, even though he pays full damage, is only paid up to the worth of the damaging animal. Therefore, it's often not fully paid, and that's why he doesn't list this as a separate animal that damages. In fact, in the case of the rapist, the seducer, and the defamer, they pay damages other than just penalties, so why doesn't Rabbi Shai list them? Mar says, because what are their other payments? For pain, embarrassment, actual damages, these are already listed, so there's no risk, no reason to list them again. In fact, the one who makes food tamei, and the one who mixes truma with regular produce, and someone who makes wine into yayin nesach, all pay monetary damages, not penalties, so why doesn't he list them? Mar says, if he considers damage that is not noticeable, like tuma, to be regular damage, so he already listed it as regular damage. If he considers it not to be real damage, and it's just a case of penalty, and he doesn't list cases of penalty. In fact, maybe we consider he holds that such damage is not a true damage, because if it is, why does he need to list it separately? Mar says it may be that he wanted to list it separately because he wanted to list separately damage that is noticeable and damage that is not noticeable.